Welcome to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Rob, and with me and my friends, Mike. And Lou.
Hello. I'm not going to make a sound. Hello.
That's slurping three for a loop.
Life is more fun with sound effects.
Is it?
Meow.
Just like whisper right in her ear.
Yes.
So each week we start off the week with an icebreaker. So today I want you guys to blind rank these gas station snacks without knowing what comes next.
Ooh.
We're going to start off with nacho cheese Doritos.
Like just classic red bag Doritos?
Classic red bag Doritos.
Three, baseline.
I don't know. I'm scared. I'm going to go two, just to be different. All right.
Next up, we got glazed donuts.
Wow, I've never had a glazed donut at the gas station, so five?
Four.
Man, you gotta live a little, Lou.
I don't think you're missing a single thing, Lucian.
If you get them fresh.
Perfectly fine.
Where do you get your donuts, then? You get those fancy ones?
At a donut shop.
Dang.
Occasionally when they're free at work?
Occasionally.
Next up is the Keebler Sandwich Cracker Snack Pack. I'll let you choose the flavor. So that's like peanut butter or cheese. Those snack packs. The big snack pack, as my wife calls them.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either. Five.
Wow.
Four?
Becca is crying right now.
Well, she should have been more descriptive. This is her fault.
That's the actual name. I was going to say, we just call them the big snack pack. But, I mean...
Oh, well, then Keebler should have been more descriptive, because I have no idea what that is.
I'll send a picture of it right quick. I'm sure you guys have had them, or at least some variety. So, we got one of these over here. You can get, like, the orange crackers or the classic crackers, that type of thing.
Oh, those things. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Five.
That still doesn't matter.
Like the cheddar crackers with the peanut butter in the middle.
Or you can get the regular.
Or the white
toaster.
The cheese in the middle,
Still, you going with four still, Lou? I think that's
as
low as you can go. All right, next up is peanut butter M&Ms.
Ooh.
I have...
One or two.
Three.
Still got your one left, Lou?
I'm really banking on two things. There's two things that I would throw myself into a car for.
Yeah, there's a couple that I like more than peanut M&Ms, but not many. But I'm going to go two. I'm also going to save that one slot.
All right, so your number ones are the Buffalo Chicken Rollers.
One. That's one right there, baby.
Is that one you get in the car for?
Nearly.
It has like 15 grams of protein.
Yep.
It's delicious.
Don't know about the calories, but yeah, it does have a lot of protein.
I don't know if I've ever had a Buffalo Chicken Roller, but it doesn't sound bad.
No.
Sound bad.
I mean,
it's like a chicken nugget.
Yeah, it's like a chicken nugget. It looks kind of sketch, you know, depending on the gas station. Sometimes it's like radioactive orange, but you know, hey.
Yes. And hey, the guy looks at you like, do you really want to put that on your body? And it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you go, yeah, I do. I need some protein.
Well, I mean, who hasn't put something questionable in their body at 2 o'clock in the morning? It's a time-honored tradition.
Yes! Hell yeah!
That's me whenever he asks that. When Crazy Robert asks me that at 7-Eleven. My response every time. All right, so this week we're doing something we've done in the past, but it's not usually one of our mainstays or, you know, one of the quote-unquote main episodes. But we're doing The Draft is in Town, and we are drafting our favorite 80s movies of all time. It's going to start with me, then go to Mike, then Lou, then go in reverse order. So a snake draft, if you're familiar with that.
Oh, so, it's only 80s?
Only 80s.
Only 80s movies.
You're going to have to cut down that list there.
Just some time to speed research. There are lots of lists that you can look up with the best 80s movies of all time.
Hey, I haven't done
that were very helpful for me. Also, we need to do more drafts. I've been really excited for this all week.
Like I said, I'm doing a series. Next will be 90s, then 2000s, and 2010s. And I
thought we were going to do that in all one day.
No,
I thought that was going to be 180s, 190s.
No.
Rip.
We're just doing. All right. We're doing decades here, so I'll start off. This first one was difficult because I know there's two that I want to pick as my favorite 80s movies, and I know whichever one I don't pick, I feel like is not going to make it back to me. So I'm going to go with my gut. I'm not going to say it's my favorite movie, but I've been really vibing with it recently. Loved it as a kid. Came out in 1984. It is The Karate Kid.
Oh.
Yep. Had a feeling.
Oh, that hurt.
Was that going to be your number one? Was if that made it the two, Mike, were you going to take that one?
No, I definitely wasn't going to take it at two. I probably wasn't going to take it at five.
Oh, dang.
But it was definitely what I was hoping would fall to three. I'd be able to scoop it up.
I had a feeling you were going to snatch it, so I'm like, ooh.
We've all
seen The Karate Kid, right?
Oh, so good.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
So good at the aggressive, but...
Holds up.
It does hold up.
Well, okay, I don't know about masterpiece. Good times. Good times. It is.
And there could be some nostalgic addicts. I grew up with that. Like, that was one of my movies as a kid, so... Granted, there could be some rose-tinted glasses, but yeah, we watched it last time. It was in Michigan. My niece did not really care for it. It wasn't quite, didn't have as vibrant colors and wasn't action-packed all the time with chicken jockeys and everything. But, you know, I still had a great time. I didn't understand that Johnny was rolling a blunt in the bathroom until, like, 4 years ago. Just, I'm like, oh, is he rolling a cigarette? Like, oh, yeah, smoking's bad as a high schooler. Didn't pick up that it was a blunt. Yeah, it was it's a great movie. Would recommend.
Very, very good. Joe does this weird thing where she'll be genuinely interested to learn about the character a little bit at first. Like, she'll hang out and watch the beginning of a movie, and then once it picks up and gets good, she's like, I'm all set. And, like, takes off. She did that with Hook recently. Like, she was so invested until they got to Neverland, and then she was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. But when it turned out that, like, it was the actual, like, Wendy from Peter Pan, she was like, I called it. I was like, what kind of a just weird child are you? I love you, but huh?
And let's be honest. Oh, go ahead.
I love The Karate Kid, but I got to say I love Cobra Kai more.
I've only seen the first season. Lou couldn't even make it past one episode. So
first two seasons are the best seasons. It's only downhill from there, but it stays fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you watch this as a kid growing up, I would bet a good amount of money that you at least asked your parents to try take karate lessons. Whether you did or not, you at least asked, you know, and you thought, I did it. I was a proud white belt who never trained to get any higher, but I remember they taught like the wax on, wax off. I'm like, step by, sensei. I know this one. I got this.
Hey, you were one word away from saying something pretty wild, so
just calm down
on that.
All right.
All right. I had not one, count them, two VHS tapes with karate lessons on the tape.
Mm-hmm. You can't learn. I guess they said you can't learn from a book, but Mr. Miyagi didn't say anything about movies.
Yeah, you can't learn from a movie. Let me tell you that for free. I think I had the front kick kind of down. Definitely the power wasn't coming from the right place. It was, in hindsight, it was a disaster.
But you thought you were cool. That's all that matters.
I did think I was cool.
All right. With the second pick of the 80s movies draft, Mike is going to pick...
Back to the Future.
Yeah, I knew.
No question. I thought about leaving the drama, see if it would come around, but I'm not risking it. I've been rewatching these movies with people from Small Group recently. I just got to knock out three, but I've been so stinking busy. So that watch is coming up, and I'm excited for it. But just I don't know if this is actually it's another one where I'm like, I don't know that it's my all-time favorite 80s movie, but I gotta pick it because I know it's one of the most hotly wanted 80s movies, and I think movies I like more I'll be able to sneak by and pick up in later rounds. Mm-hmm. But it's a top three for sure. It deserves to be on any list of top 80s movies. Great concept. It's just weird and fun, and you don't get stuff like that anymore.
John Mulaney has a great bit about it. One of the few bits I like from him.
She's got a great bit about it, which inspired Ryan George's pitch meeting series. So without this movie, we wouldn't have either of those. I like the music. I like just... There's literally not a bad thing about this movie, other than the whole vaguely incestuous undertone is objectively a little strange. I'll give you that one. But it doesn't bother me because the movie's just weird and fun everywhere. And so this just falls under the weird category. And it's kind of accurate to what the scenario would be, I think. So it doesn't bother me too much. But yeah, great movie. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Why are you here? Why aren't you watching that movie? Pause, go watch it, come right back.
That's not what you thought. Down in the comments below.
Yeah. It's a doozy. It's a banger. There's nothing I can say about it that hasn't already been said, but Back to the Future, hands down.
That was going to be my number two. What's your thoughts on Back to the Future, Lou?
I liked it, Back to the Future. I'm trying to remember a lot of it. I weirdly do remember when he was trying to hook up with his mom.
No, he wasn't.
Or
his
mom was trying to hook up with him.
Okay. It's what he was wearing for sure. sorry. Yeah, it was good. I liked the guitar. I think I'm a Back to the Future 2 guy. That hoverboard really did
really?
It. Really? Yeah.
Whoa!
That's crazy.
As a child.
As a kid, I would have agreed with you, but now I think it's 1-3-2.
I'd have to watch it I'd have to be an adult. But, like, the pizza.
Robert.
The shark. Did I say the pizza?
The pizza. Oh yeah.
Hydrate.
We all know you like pizza. Yeah.
It does have one of Mike's favorite lines in all of cinema.
You know how to reheat a pizza, rehydrate a pizza. Oh my gosh.
I don't believe it.
The part in 2 where he's like, "Doc, you're not going to believe it. We have to go back to 1955.
I don't believe it.
There it is.
I didn't know if you'd wait.
I was. I think that line is so much funnier than it has any right to be. Nobody thinks that line is quite as funny as I seem to think it is. And I don't care. I laugh so hard every single time. I quote it, and people just look at me like I'm crazy. But yeah, objectively, I think it is the weird in-between transition movie. Once you get back to 1955, it picks up and it's pretty good. But the whole front half of that movie is just strange.
Random cameos in that whole trilogy, though, too.
Oh, yeah. Huey Lewis,
yep.
ZZ Top.
The, who's the guy from Red Hot Chili Peppers? So I'm drawing a blank on his name.
The bass guitarist. Flea?
Flea, yeah. Flea? He's Needles. Yeah.
Also, one of the great Asian accents of our time.
Mark Flay!
I don't think that came through very well. But
no, that's probably for the better.
And just like any good 80s movie, it made me want to pick up a skateboard and try learning how to skateboard.
There you go.
Thread here.
You ever grab the back of a car and ride behind?
I've always wanted to, but I've had some common sense. Not much. I've had some, though.
Yeah,
even I've never been dumb enough to try that one.
No, I wanted to do it in the snow, though. You ever seen people do it? Mm-hmm. No skateboard, but just the snow?
If there's like an actual hoverboard, then I could be, you know, tempted to, because then you don't have to worry about bumps and everything, and you can just let go and go floating to the side. But yeah, not a skateboard, especially not in Michigan roads. Death in 2 minutes, tops.
True.
Well, Lou, did you have time for your two picks? You can get back to back here.
Yeah, I do. All right, my number one, which I already picked this one because I thought we were doing 80s, 90s, 2000s, 10s, is going to be, no surprise, I talk about this movie anytime a chance I get, The Princess Bride. It is, I'm so sorry.
It's good.
It is the number one movie for me. It is on par. It's probably my second. It's just so good. It's so good. I learned more about Andre the Giant. I think just like through Facebook and through YouTube, I've learned more about his life, and there's like this big Frenchman. It's just, I don't know. It's just so good.
Yeah, you didn't have a double cheeseburger over there, Mike?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what my phone just did.
Okay. Yeah, just swashbuckling. I recently just watched the fight between the sword fight between the two characters and how much they respect each other. He's like, "I'm not left-handed. I'm not left-handed either."
Right.
It's just so good.
Andre the Giant also didn't speak any English before that movie. He was learning language as he's...
Really?
Yeah. One of the best things I've heard Princess Bride described as. It's the closest thing to like a play you'll get as a movie, because there's something, especially with like the sword fight, where you can definitely tell he lands on like a mat for the flip and everything, and you just like, you don't care. Clearly. It's like it just it fits. Yeah. But it's such a good movie.
It was I was talking to my mom about this movie just the other day, and she mentioned that it was such a box office flop that it was pulled from theaters in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And has become so culturally relevant that it now has a place in the Smithsonian for movies that are culturally relevant as art, and no movies go into it because of their box office significance. So it literally had like the worst like launch possible and has become Smithsonian level like famous.
Now, Mike, you read the book, correct?
And listened to it, both.
Ooh. How do you say it compares as an adaptation?
It has the distinct advantage of being the screenplay is written by the author of the book. And so the changes bother me less than they normally would. It also has the distinct advantage of just, I saw the movie first and was in love with the movie. So like, I'm less bothered when it differed from the book. And I think all the changes were just good changes that would fit better as a movie. So like, the Pits of Despair were like a zoo. Where he had Prince Hubbardink had a bunch of like exotic poisonous creatures. Didn't play as well for the movie. The book thing was still there, but the book actually presents itself as being by S. Morgenstern, and that like it is an abridgment. So basically, you have William Goldman, the author, I believe that's his name. I did not come prepared to talk about the book, but he. He basically tells you this story about how he found an old copy of the book at a garage sale and he buys it and he's all excited and he gives it to his son to read. And he's like, oh, you know, how'd you like it? And his son's like, yeah, Dad, this book is so boring. And he discovers that when his dad read in the book, he was actually like, he was abridging it on the fly and like just trimming out the boring parts. And so the book itself is presented as the good parts version of this big, boring, thick book that you now don't have to read. And so like the guy who wrote the book doesn't even like take credit for writing the book on the cover of the book. Like S. Morgan's classic novel is like what's written in bold letters. And then under it in small letters is like abridged by William Goldman, which is just, it's awesome. And so you'll have these sections where like, instead of having the grandson and the grandpa chime in and talk to each other, it'll be like, yes, and then there were 10 chapters about Buttercup's wardrobe, but that was really boring, so we'll skip past that. And so there's all these fun little asides where he tells you what you don't have to read. And yeah, it's just really good. You get a little bit more of the story of Inigo and like his father and that whole thing. That was pretty cool. So there were like fun elements where it's like, yeah, the movie didn't need it, but it was fun in the context of the book. So it's, I think it's the perfect adaptation. It's different, but better for what it is. And the changes don't detract. They add to the medium. It's, yeah, they're both fun. Mm-hmm.
And Lou, since you picked it, what is your favorite line? That's, he's the only one who gets to answer this.
Oh, does anybody want a peanut?
There it is. Good Bam. One. All right. Pick number four, Lou. What are you picking for your second pick?
My pick for number four, I'm actually watching a YouTube video right now just to make sure I'm picking a good pick. The Thing scares the mess out of me as an adult. I think it is scarier than Nightmare on Elm Street. Quentin Tarantino, you know, you have your opinions on him. That's perfectly fine. But he has this beautiful way of explaining The Thing. I think it is just absolutely masterpiece. I think it is scary, it's gory, but it's not campy in any way. And then there's not like just like big titted women constantly with their shirts off running around.
But it's good anyway.
We still like it.
But it's just nice to not have to like not look away from the TV screen. So yeah, it's just you. It's just suspenseful all the way up until the end. You don't know who the thing is. If you've never watched this movie, please watch it.
I would like to. It's one of the few horror movies I want to actually see. Horror movies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Didn't they do a remake and just wasn't as good?
They do a remake. I think it's terrible, so I never watched it. It doesn't need a remake. I think the purpose of a remake is that something can just be better, right? Like, why do people do remakes?
They run out of, you know, creative integrity and just want to go back to the well, would just be what most people would say nowadays. But
yeah, I think, like, the only reason for a remake is that society and, like, technology has gotten so good that they want to go back to it and make it better, I guess, in a sense. If you watch this movie, it is just as good as it would have been if it just came out today. The special effects are a little cheesy, but scares the mess out of me. That's me.
Well, and is it like in the special effects hold up, right? Like, I think I've seen one of the disgusting practical effects they have, but it's kind of like Alien, where it's like it'll at least hold up better than the CG of that day.
It will totally hold up. I mean, I can send you a video of a dog turning into ooze.
I'll wait till I watch.
Okay, it's nuts, dude. It's absolutely nuts. Whoever did this was not right in the head.
Anything you want to add, Mike?
I have definitely seen The Thing, and the scene where they're all tied up is probably the best scene that I definitely saw when I watched this movie.
What?
So you just know the ending?
That's all I have to say. I don't even know the ending.
I've heard the ending, but yeah. So I'll watch it. All right.
No, it's like possibly the top of my movies that I do genuinely want to watch, but just keep not feeling like and not getting around to list.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. Well, Mike, what are you picking at number, what is this, number five?
Number five. Yeah, so this is tough. The truth is I want to pick Aliens here. I don't think anybody listening to this podcast wants to hear me give my thoughts on Aliens.
We have a podcast again for that. Go check back.
There's a whole episode you can go listen to. It's a good one callback. It's like our number two most watched episode. Rob did an amazing thumbnail for it. So the real answer is Aliens, but we're not going to answer Aliens. We're going to go with my otherwise number one pick, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bueller?
Yeah, not my favorite.
I haven't seen
it. Yeah, I had a feeling I could let it slide to three, but on the off chance that Rob grabbed it, I just couldn't risk it.
I haven't seen it. I think I've said that in podcasts before. I don't remember. But oh, man, all I know is the guy wears a Gordie Howe jersey.
That's yeah, Chicago. He does. He does indeed. Ferris Bueller's Day Off presents itself as a movie about your wisecracking cool kid from school who decides to skip school and is having to dodge the determined pursuit of the principal who wants to bust him and his older, younger, his sister who also wants to see him get busted. And he convinces his depressed friend who doesn't never wants to go do anything to come sneak out with him. And he sneaks his girlfriend out, and the three of them go and they have a day on the town and they have a lot of fun. It is a very rare story, though, in that the title character is not the main character. It is not Ferris Bueller's movie. It is Cameron's movie. Cameron is this best friend who is just stuck in this place in life and feels under his dad's thumb, like he can't get out the shadow of his dad's personality. And he needs to have this revelation about being his own person and about not being trapped under the weight of his father's looming existence. And it's one of, in my opinion, the great human stories. And it rarely gets talked about as such. And if you haven't seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, finish Back to the Future. And then start Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Well, we got
they're
a thing
both fantastic.
First. It was picked higher.
So and the thing, it's a whole. You can watch the thing after. Trust me, it'll still be there.
This is going to turn into like a fight where we're like, no, you got to watch my movie first.
Go in order. Start draft order. There we go.
Yeah, it's that'd have changed the whole darn thing, dude. I think it's just one of the great human movies. It's also just fun and funny and quotable, and Ferris is awesome, and I think he's a swell dude.
There we go. So Lou, dissenting opinion.
I just think it's just terrible acting. It's just bad, boring acting. I don't know. It just feels like a dude just doing his thing.
Just guys being dudes.
Just guys being dudes. I think nostalgia is
heavy. So it
feels
like exactly like it's supposed to be?
I guess, yeah. If that's the purpose of what it is, then, you know, that's why, I don't know, it just feels nothing.
Did you grow up with this
movie,
Mike? Out
of curiosity, when's the last time you watched it?
About 6 years ago. I was in my 20s.
I saw it once in high school, and I thought it was fine. And then I watched it again in the last 4 years, and I watched it again in the last year. And I liked it more each time I watched it. So I'll tell you what. Sometime we'll hang out, and we'll do a double feature. I'll watch The Thing. You'll rewatch Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, after we watch The Thing, we probably want to watch something a little bit chiller.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, my next one is rated the 15th best movie according to IMDb. It is the first movie from the decade on the list, and it is just all around. It's a super. I mean, everyone is mostly if they've at least heard of it, if not seen it. It is came out in 1980. Star Wars Episode V: The Emperor Strikes Back. I thought it was made in 79, so I was quite happy that it, you know, got in the 80s, but I was afraid Lou was going to take it, so thankfully he did not, because I know he's also a big Star Wars guy. I mean, I can't really say anything else that hasn't been said about the most popular movie and one of the most popular franchises of all time. It's just, it's wild. It's fantastic storytelling. Everyone knows the iconic twist with Vader, and just it's funny, like hearing behind the scenes how they hid that from everyone besides like three people. It's like Lucas, Hamill, and James Earl Jones were the only people that knew about it. It's just an awesome movie. You can tell that after the first one made a lot of money, they like everything went up the scale. Like went up a step. Lightsaber fights went from, you know, two old men just kind of swatting baseballs at each other to like full on choreographed fight scenes. And it's just awesome. And it didn't have, you know, just scantily clad women rolling around in frame. So, you know, since that's one of our things. Unlike, can't say that about all the original trilogy, but no.
And that's why it's
that's
good.
That's why number six is Mike's favorite.
Amongst other reasons, that's why I could say things that have not been said about that movie if you want to hear it. So.
Didn't Lucas was like there was no underwear in space, so made Leia not wear any underwear.
Yeah, like not wear bras or whatever. I think was what it was. Underwear in space, which I think
you
astronauts
don't need support in zero gravity. It makes sense, okay?
That's wild. That's a wild dude.
It's also the cool the see the behind the scenes thing where they were gonna show Boba Fett's face, and oh my gosh, it was just some white dude in like some garb, and it was so much better that they didn't. So it's fun to kind of see like how iconic characters were built there. Lou, is 5 your favorite Star Wars, or which one's your favorite?
Honestly, I don't even know anymore. Probably 12.
12?
Sorry.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
12.
12 out of, yeah, I was like, out of 9?
Is it 12?
No.
Is it 12? There's no 12?
Nope, there's
the
9.
Last
I think
one.
There's 11.
When Palpatine 9. Comes back, that's my favorite.
Guys, so this is the final episode of the last podcast.
I don't know. I want to rewatch.
I need one night off a week. This will clear it up nicely for me.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm glad you enjoyed the conclusion of the Skywalker saga. I'm proud of it. I'm happy for you. Love that for you.
I appreciate that. Oh man.
Jacob, let us know why number 9 is in fact the definitive Star Wars movie. Next up for pick number whatever, I've lost. I can't count that high. 7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. Yep.
7. This one stars the, I've talked about on the podcast before, because obviously we talked about our favorite movies of all time. Go check that out. I think it's one of our better episodes. So I won't rehash a lot of it there. But made 3 years after Ferris Bueller's Days Off came Glory, which is a Civil War movie. And it's just, I've seen clips of Ferris Bueller, and I can I understand why some people had their doubts when they announced that he was going to be like the head star in this gritty Civil War movie. And it makes sense because, yeah, he is completely different acting. So what's the Matthew Broderick? That's his name. He has good acting chops. Also has Cary Elwes from Princess Bride. I think it's one of Morgan Freeman's biggest hits. Has Denzel Washington. Just a stat cast. I really love it. It's one of the best, most historically accurate Civil War movies out there. And it's just it'll hit you in the fields and everything. And it's just a fantastic movie. Go watch it. Came out in 1989. So got the bookends for my last two picks. Have any of you guys end up watching Glory since we talked about it?
No, I haven't had a chance to. Dang. What is it
I've
on?
Had plenty of chances to and just never decided to.
I have always owned a physical copy, so I do not know what it's on. It was my first rated R movie I ever watched.
Oh. Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh, nice.
Nice. Well, Mike, what are you picking for number 8?
I am staring down a double-barreled Arnold's short shotgun, Predator. And I just can't. I can't choose. It's so difficult. I think I'm gonna go with Predator.
Ooh, nice.
Mm, that was on my list too.
It was between Predator and Terminator this whole time, and they're both so good. But ultimately, Predator's just... My only gripe with Predator is that I would have loved a little more actual characterization for some of the people who get picked off during this movie. I felt like that would have taken it from an awesome, somewhat tense action thriller to a genuinely scary and like you care about the characters and so you don't want them to get taken out action horror. But even without that, even with the more surface level characters, it's still a great movie. It's still a great story about, you know, it's more than just like big strong men in woods fighting alien, which it is, and it's awesome. But you have that, just that story about the government and the way the government is playing with its own agents and using them expendably and not being honest with them. It's such a good subplot. And obviously, as a big alien head, the Predator movies have a special, albeit strange, place in my heart. And I'm looking forward to eventually watching the Alien vs. Predator movies and going through the Predator movies with Dan and Kyle someday. So, yeah, we're going to go with Predator.
I just wish they gave Billy a better send-off. Just killed off screen. So sad. I have. I've seen it once and I really enjoyed it. I don't remember much about it. Like the whole government subplot or whatever. Don't remember. I remember his buff guys.
Blew my mind. Machine guns. I rewatched it and I was like, oh, handshakes. Dude, this is cool. There's like more stuff going on.
Have you seen it, Lou?
I have, yeah. I just saw a video about how I think Billy fought for him to die that way, more like kind of a cool way versus, because he was supposed to fight him, but then the budget got cut. He was supposed to fight the Predator, and the budget got cut.
Yeah.
But I think that would have been a really cool fight.
That was like one of my favorite characters, just so you, it's pretty BA.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, who doesn't love Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger? Have you seen Rocky yet, Mike?
Nope. It's kind of a point of pride at this point, and I'm okay with it. It's kind of fun for me.
All right, Lou, close out this draft. Who do you got for number 9, or what do you got?
So I just talked a lot of junk about how Ferris Bueller doesn't really have a story, a plot at all, but I gotta do it. My last one is gonna be My Neighbor Totoro.
Oh, dude, I cannot believe you risked that till the end.
I did. I'm pretty sure nobody was gonna pick it.
We were all. It was on the tips of all of our tongues.
Yeah. It seems like you know what it is, though, Mike. You do know? No, have you seen?
I've seen.
No idea.
Watch your profanity.
Dang it! I thought I was gonna be able to pull back on that fast enough for no one to notice.
Watch your profanity.
There you go. Yeah. It was either that or Akira. And I already picked a crazy movie, so I'm not gonna pick Akira. But yeah, there's no plot. It's just a forest spirit being all cuddly. His name is Totoro. And there's just a bunch of kids just hanging out. It's, you know, it's just a power of just childhood. It's just, I don't know. And it just does it for me.
Yeah.
That cat bus. I lost my mind when I saw cat balls. I was like, oh my gosh. I cannot believe he animated the nuts on this cat bus. That's insane. That's insane. But I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Yeah, not much to it, but if you just need something chill, and you just had a really long day, pop this on. Yeah,
good comfy movie, or cozy.
It is a good cozy movie. So that's my pick.
Yeah, I did have, I didn't know if you would take it, but for an honorable mention, we can do that right quick if we're done. I did have Nausicaa on there, so it was came out before My Neighbor Totoro, but I was thinking maybe you would choose Nausicaa or Emperor Strikes Back, Lou.
I don't even know what Nausicaa is. Is that sweet?
Yeah, it's like before they were Studio Ghibli, it was on there. They have like Mark Hamill and like some other big name people, but I really enjoyed it.
Interesting.
It may have been their first movie. I don't know because they made The Hobbit. That Hobbit, the anime made The Hobbit, but I don't know. 1984 considered, I think, whenever I look it up, like their first Studio Ghibli movie. Mike, you got any more honorable mentions besides Predator or Terminator?
Terminator, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was
a very
serious contender, but it just felt wrong to do three comedy. Obviously, Aliens, Die Hard.
Never seen it.
Die Hard's good.
He's dead at the end, right?
Die Hard?
No, I was just making Bruce Willis joke.
He's about to die soon.
Dog, don't bring it up. I was going with one of the movies, like, biggest spoiled movies of all time. I won't say which one, because I'm not going to perpetuate it. Have you got any honorable mentions, Lou?
Yeah, The Shining, solid.
Really?
It's not as good as people. Ooh. It's not as good as people say, but that first shot really does it for me. They did a really good job with bringing the people into that. I don't know, what is it? Is it just a house?
Hotel.
A hotel. Just
Mike,
does it.
Do you like The Shining? Sorry.
He does not. He does not like The Shining. Why'd you bring this up? The Never Ending Story is iconically scarred my life. I think that's the one with the horse, right?
Never seen it.
You never seen the Never Ending Story?
Nope.
Oh my
gosh.
Is
it like in the same vein of the Dark Crystal or whatever it was?
I have no idea what you said.
It's like The Dark Crystal is like one of those weird puppeteer movies that I remember saw and just freaked
out.
Oh,
no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah, the horse dies. I just looked it up. Super scary. But good.
That thing. I've seen it. Never saw the movie, but I don't know what that is.
Yeah, The Breakfast Club. I thought Mike would pick it because it's just, I don't know, he was like in his 20s.
All right, there's three. That's it.
That is three.
I think The Breakfast Club is the most overrated film made. I can't stand the hype that movie gets.
I'm sorry. I hate that. Like, I know you guys so well.
You hate that? Wow.
I hate it.
I hate knowing you guys.
I hate knowing you guys so well.
Yeah.
Do
you think
it's Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones is good. Yeah, it would have been the 80s after Star Wars. One argument, I've never seen The Breakfast Club, but I heard it was like, it started that genre or that style of film. Kind of everyone copied it. Do you think that's kind of what it could be, Mike, or you just think it's not that good overall? whole concept.
I watched it. So I think part of it is that I watched it and I was like, "This is." It wasn't groundbreaking by the time I watched it, mm-hmm. and so I think the hype was for what it was when it was, and so it fits squarely next to episode 4 for me as movies that, like, I understand they had an effect, but it doesn't make me like the movie anymore.
It's me and The Shining.
Yeah, yeah. Shining is also one in that category. Sorry.
I was joking.
Oh, okay.
I was just listing things that I thought people wouldn't like. But yeah, that's it for me.
All right. Well, Mike, what are we talking about next week?
Yeah, I came up with that by the end of the next week. We're going to talk favorite table games. Have we really done that? I feel like we did that a very long
time. Like, gay? Like, what do you mean by table? Card games? You want, like, the Cracker Barrel, like triangle?
Exclusively straight games.
Oh.
We did it with the ladies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, sorry.
In that case.
Go watch that episode. Not a callback. Actually, I don't know. That one was early on, wasn't their best.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't recommend that episode. All right, here's something I've wanted to do for a long time. I'm pulling the trigger on it.
Do it.
Top three things you wish you'd remembered to say on the podcast.
Oh, gosh.
Dude, what?
I told you guys to keep a list. We're doing it.
I can think of one.
You're a third of the way there.
There we go. All right.
Brother, I can think of nothing. All right, sounds good.
All right, you're going to have to go back and listen to these podcasts, Lou.
Figure out what you said. Sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to this week's episode of The Top Podcast. As always, if you watch on YouTube, give us a like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what 80 movies you think should have been drafted. What's your favorite one? Where are hot takes hot? Where are they cold? All that ish. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. If you're watching on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, be sure to check the comments down below, as I know some people are tearing it up, looking at you, Cantwell, doing the Lord's work over there. And be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it off on the pod. I can speak English. But other than that, I hope you guys have a great week, and we'll catch you next time. Peace. Nope.
I tried.
A new podcast host.
Dang it. Come on.
Nope.
Keeps cutting me off.